It's The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde with Marcy Silman. The Seahawks take on the New Orleans Saints tonight at CenturyLink Field. It's one of the biggest games of the season. Marcy, you going to watch?
It will be on a television in my house.
I can't, noncommittal.
I can't promise.
I'm
that
kind
I'll
of a fair weather fan, but I'm going to be watching. Seahawks now number one in the NFL with a record of 10-1. They're also number one in something else: drug suspensions. Over the last few weeks, two starters were suspended for violating the league's drug policy. Going back to 2010, the Seahawks lead the league in drug suspensions. That includes both performance-enhancing drugs and recreational drugs. Earlier, I spoke with Dave Zirin about this. He's a sports correspondent for The Nation, and he's written about the NFL's drug policy.
Well, there has been long-standing penalties, rumors, and tainted drug tests that largely revolve around the Seattle Seahawks' vaunted secondary, with people who guard the receivers on the other team, which has really been the basis of their massive upsurge over the last couple of years. They have what's considered to be the most physical, most imposing, and most dominant secondary in the sport. And given the fact that the NFL has become such a pass-happy league because of rule changes in the last several years, this gives them a true advantage over other teams. They're bigger, faster, stronger in the secondary, and they also play with a serious attitude. So more than a few teams are happy to take shots at them right now every time a player comes up having taken a substance that's on the NFL's banned list.
Voters made marijuana legal here in Washington State. Nationally, most people now tell pollsters that they support legalization. Where is the NFL on the question of legalized marijuana and drug use among players?
The NFL is antediluvian, Neanderthal, backward-looking, 19th century, whatever adjective you want to use to describe it, that's the NFL's view on marijuana use. In the NFL, if you want to get drunk, if you have issues with spousal abuse, these are things that actually can get you much less of a penalty in the National Football League than marijuana use. It's viewed as a banned substance. It will get you the kind of strenuous drug testing, as in someone coming to your place of work to drug test you for months on end on a daily basis if you're found to have any traces of marijuana in your system. And all it really creates is kind of like an elaborate network of ways to try to evade the test, because for most players, marijuana is an absolute, I would argue, necessity. Based on my experience, based on players I've talked to, it's a necessity to unwind after a game. It's a necessity to actually ease the pain of the muscles after they get knocked around after a game. And it becomes the sort of thing where, when you think about that phrase, medicinal marijuana, it's hard to think of a group of sectors in any workforce in the country that need it more than NFL players after a game.
Is the NFL out of step with other major league sports when it comes to marijuana use in particular?
No, the NFL is pretty much where every other sport is at this point, and then all of the sports need to relook and rethink their policies regarding marijuana. The NBA used to have better policies on it, but they've exhibited crackdowns in recent years. I think the main thing that they have to start looking at is not only changing cultural norms, but as you mentioned earlier, they have to start looking at state laws, and that different states have different policies. But the last thing the NFL wants, the last thing the NBA wants, the last thing any of these leagues wants is a team developing a competitive advantage based on the fact that marijuana is legal in their state and players would be allowed to smoke there. I mean, or imbibe it any way they see fit. I mean, I guarantee you, if the NFL adopted a policy that said if it's legal in your state, then you're good to go, according to our drug policies, you would see a line trying to play for the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos.
Dave Zirin is sports correspondent for The Nation. There's a lot riding on tonight's game against the Saints. How do you think these suspensions are going to affect the Seahawks' chances?
Well, it's hard to see how they won't affect their chances, because in the New Orleans Saints, you have the arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League, a player by the name of Drew Brees, who plays for the New Orleans Saints. And you also have the best offensive mind in football, arguably, their head coach, Sean Payton. They're a pass-happy team, and Drew Brees is going to be going after that secondary, whether the big guys were in there or not. So it'll have a huge effect on the game. What Seattle has going for it, in addition to its sparkling record, is the fact that there is no tougher place to play in the NFL than Seattle, both because of the crowd noise and because a lot of people undervalue this, the very trip up to the Pacific Northwest, which can take its toll on a player's body. So Seattle has those built-in advantages, But Drew Brees, they're coming to play. This is going to be the best Monday night contest of the year.
All right, Dave Zirin, who's going to win?
I like the Seattle Seahawks in this game. I like them are riding the emotional high, even in the aftermath of the suspension. It seems that football players always need a reason to feel like people are doubting them and to come back from that. They're just a better team than the Saints, top to bottom, even with the suspensions. And you might remember before the year even started, I had the Seattle Seahawks going to the Super Bowl, and I see no reason to deviate from that pick now.
All right, Dave Zirin, thanks so much for taking the time.
My privilege. Thank you.
Dave Zirin is sports correspondent for The Nation. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde with Marcy Silman.